All right. So, hey everyone, it is Friday, August 26th, and this is the noon Eastern Time PSS call. And this week we are working on asking for help and modeling asking for help. And Andrea, you already checked in, sort of. Do you want to celebrate really quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just want to celebrate that we made this change, even though it was so hard.
I think that's awesome. I love it. Will you share with Marcelle where you're from and how old your kid or kids are?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm in the Atlanta area. I live in Latonia, Georgia. And I have two kids. I have one that is diagnosed ADHD, which is my son, who's 11, and then a daughter who is 19, quickly approaching 20, undiagnosed, but I do believe she's ADD as well.
Okay.
So kind of two ends of the spectrum here for me.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome. So what's been what would you like to celebrate?
Well, I think for my son, it's his first year in middle school, and I was just so – I had a lot of anxiety over the summer with him starting middle school, and he had so many issues in elementary school with kind of managing himself and focusing. And not that it's perfect this year, but we're in about, I guess, maybe the third week of school, and I just see – a little more independence from him and kind of a little more focus. He wanted to join an art club. And I told him, okay, I'll look into the school and figure out, you know, what's going on and who leads that in the whole nine. Well, once he told me like that Monday, he came back that Tuesday and had already reached out and found out what teacher was leading the art club, gotten the form that I needed to have filled out and sat down and had a discussion with me about it. And that's not normal kind of behavior. It's usually all over the place. So I was encouraged to see that from Jacob. Yeah. And so what I'm thinking, whereas my angst with middle school is maybe it's providing him a little more opportunity to focus kind of where his passion is, because he loves to draw in the whole nine. So maybe I hope through the year I won't have to be as concerned. I mean, I still have some concern with him focusing in class and things like that, but I think the opportunity for him to find some organizations, you know, where he feels comfortable is encouraging to me. Yeah.
Wonderful. That's great. That's great. Is the school, it's completely new to him this year, or?
It is completely
been here
new
before?
To him. Nope. Completely new to him, and he's sixth grade. It's, runs from 6th to 8th grade. Our Tucker is Tucker Middle School here. So this is his first year, and I'm just really encouraged because I just wasn't sure if he would be able to navigate, and he seems to be navigating pretty well. And, again, compared to
that's
when he was in elementary school, I just had a lot of angst, so it's encouraging. So that's, I guess, my...
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, because middle school can be... Well, traditionally, you see the opposite, right?
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
When people get to middle school, it's more challenging. But
yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Isn't
that
great? And our amazing world.
Yeah, not that I don't think it will be challenging because I'm having to kind of stay laser focused on his classwork, but I'm hoping that him finding kind of his space will help with some of the issues that I generally run into in class because, again, as I mentioned, I have a 19-year-old. When she came through middle school, it was absolutely horrible. For me, just
he
a completely
wall.
Different person that came out of middle school. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all different, right?
Yeah.
But how wonderful.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, welcome. Welcome. Andrea, do you want to just quickly share where you're from and the age of your kids and what's going on?
Sure. I'm from California and the Bay Area. And I have a 19-year-old son who just finished first year in college, and a 16-year-old daughter. And my daughter's been diagnosed with dyslexia and ADHD, well, inattentive type ADD. We've been struggling with, you know, her getting through school for many, many years.
I can relate.
She started in public school. Then I took her out and we homeschooled for a while, and I took her to a school that kind of specialized with dyslexia, so she took English and math through that school, and she was there for a couple years, and that was very, very helpful. But then we went and did independent study for a year when she was in eighth grade because she wanted to kind of, by high school, she wanted to get back into, you know, more of a conventional setting. And then the first 2 years of high school, she went to a private school, and now we just switched again to a another high school, which is smaller. And I was just telling Jeremy that I'm kind of, you know, not worried anymore about her academics. I'm focusing on, I'd like her to focus on, you know, just having her learn how to manage her anxiety and manage her time and everything. So I'm hoping that this school's a little more low-key and that, you know, it's going to be a, I'm hoping it's going to be a better year for all of us.
Yeah. And I just want to celebrate you one more time, Andrea, for recognizing that and being willing to make that shift and to, you know, honoring really what's important to you and your daughter, which is, you know, your relationship above and beyond what grade she gets. And I just think that that's phenomenal because it takes a long time, I think, for people to get to that point. So make sure you're giving yourself a big hug, a high five, an extra glass of wine, an additional massage or whatever it is to celebrate that success, because that's huge.
Thank you.
And Marcelle, just so you know about me, because, you know, it's all about me. No, I'm just kidding. I live in Kansas City, and I've been with Impact for about a year now. I have five kids. I'm an adult with ADHD. My oldest, I have a 17-year-old who's a senior in high school. I have a 15-year-old daughter who's a sophomore, and she also has ADHD. Mm-hmm. We almost missed her. She almost slipped through the cracks. She was just diagnosed last year after struggling with some depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kick myself when I look back, but there's no point in kicking myself. But we got her now, and so she's doing great. My 12-year-old is in seventh grade, and he's the one that kind of launched the whole ADHD ship. He was diagnosed when he was three. He also has autism, which we found out a couple years ago. And then I've got a 10-year-old who's in fifth grade, and he has ADD. And we medicate everybody but him.
Okay.
He doesn't really need it. And then I've got a surprise child. My husband and I also have a 2-year-old boy.
Okay.
And so, So
okay.
This is my escape and my sanity.
Yeah, I'm finding that too. But I am curious with the daughter that you just got diagnosed, because I'm feeling like I need to go through that process with my 19-year-old. As I mentioned, I didn't realize, you know, that that's something she could have been struggling with throughout her, you know, kind of early school year.
Yeah.
She tried. We started her in college. Last year, we chose a small college. She wanted to be at a big university, University of Georgia. But number one, she didn't have the grades, and I didn't think she had the discipline. So we ended up sending her to a smaller local college, you know, to kind of just get it, give her the experience. But she struggled there as well. And going through this exercise with my son is why I'm thinking there may be undiagnosed, you know, attention deficit issue with her as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how go about that, you know, when they're a little older? You know, how do you do that?
I mean, I think you trust your gut, honestly. I think if you're suspecting it, it's probably there. And then you just, you know, take her in and get her evaluated and diagnosed. Girls are, you know, traditionally they've been the ones that have been overlooked because a lot of them present with ADD, with an attentive type, and they're quiet. And girls are also really good at figuring out how to mimic what people are doing. So even if they don't pick up on the social cues, they pick up on other people behaving in a certain way. And so it's an easier way to hide, I guess. But yeah, it catches up with you eventually. And usually it's either in middle school or when kids start college. And that's why you see a lot of people taking gap years these days, which I think is a great idea. But yeah, whoever diagnosed your son can probably diagnose her.
Okay.
And it's never too late. You know, I think I was diagnosed when I was 36,
mm-hmm.
and it was incredibly validating. So I always encourage people to go and get diagnosed. And there's all kinds of supports now for kids in college with ADHD,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the size of the university. So lots
okay.
of different things you can do. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So I think what we'll do this time is talk about kind of the topic for today and then go back around and take aim just so that you can kind of get a feel for what we're talking about, and that might help distill down what it is that is coming up for you or help you kind of focus on something that would be best to take aim on. So as I'm talking about asking for help, just kind of be thinking about what's going on in your world right now. And it could be, you know, something as big as having your son ask for help at school,
mm-hmm.
Or having your daughter else ask for help, or, you know, you can focus on yourself, so really whatever comes up. And the funny thing about asking for help is that it's actually a skill that we have to teach now to a lot of people, because for whatever reason, asking for help for us feels like a sign of weakness, right? Or something that's shameful, or an admission that we're not good enough, or we're not whole, or we're not able to manage all the things that are going on in our lives. And that should not be the case. You know, I've seen situations where people who clearly need help, and it would be incredibly appropriate for them to ask for help. You know, the flooding in Baton Rouge, right? I've seen people there who've embarrassed to ask for help, and they've lost everything. And that's because we have lost the ability or forgotten how to reach out to that village around us.
Yeah.
And so what are some things that stand in the way for you guys when thinking about asking for help?
I'm definitely challenged with this all the way around. The other thing that my kids and I are going through is that we're coming up on the year mark of when my husband passed. And so,
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And he and I were very interdependent. So, you know, if I couldn't get it done, he could get it done. And so I didn't really ask for a lot of help outside of depending, you know, upon he and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I struggle with it. All of the above reasons you just, you know, listed, I don't, you know, I feel weak if I have to ask for help, even now, even though I'm very much in need, you know, of some assistance. And then two,
sure.
I don't know how to ask for help, because the other thing is I've always been in this role of helping others. And so to now be in that position, I don't even know how or what to ask for help for. You know, I'm
yeah.
all lost with it. And I think it's affecting my kids, because right before I jumped on the call, I was running late because I was having a heated discussion with my daughter about not asking me for help with something she was going through. And
right.
so to get on here and this to be the discussion, that means that I need to lead by example, right? So,
yeah. Isn't it crazy how the universe works?
Yeah.
Somehow we just
yeah.
always end up where we're supposed to be and hear what we're supposed to hear.
Absolutely. When I open the workbook, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But, yeah.
I love it. I love it. That happens all the time, and I just think it's so perfect.
Yeah.
It's always what we need to hear, whether we know that we need to hear it or whether we want to hear it.
Right.
Right, right. Andrea, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, this is a really a good one, too, because I'm always trying to tell my daughter to ask for help. And, you know, she's always trying to put up this image that she's got it all together and she can do everything on her own, and she won't ask. So I've been thinking about, you know, where does that come from? And and I do see it in myself too. You know, I mean, I've always been very independent, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess it's kind of like you feel like this sense of pride, or it's probably
yeah.
ego or something, where you feel
mm-hmm.
like, okay, I can do this myself. And
right.
I grew up like that, you know, like I can do this
mm-hmm.
myself, and I've done it, lots of stuff on my own, and after a while it just kind of becomes who you are in a way. And some of it too might be, you know, if you're kind of a private person, you don't want to like tell everybody where your weaknesses are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely, that's how I think, you know, I haven't learned how to ask for help and realize that actually it's not a weakness because, you know, we're human and you're actually sharing that humanity with somebody else. And you're helping them too because everybody has that need, you know, to be with other people and to be able to help each other. It actually feels a lot better than just, you know, everybody just trying to stay in their own little world and not asking for help from each other.
Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. And I think that's the one that kind of drives the paradigm shift for a lot of people. It's almost like, you know, when you're downsizing or going through your stuff and getting rid of stuff, you know, if you keep the thought in your head that if you hang on to it, you are preventing someone else from enjoying it, you know, whether you may or may not use it, you know, 5 years from now. In the next 5 years, somebody else may get a lot of enjoyment or use out of whatever that item is. And the same with asking for help, you know, in a kind of a roundabout way, we're actually giving other people a chance to feel better about themselves, like you said, because people want to help at their core. You know, when someone passes away or when a baby is born or someone is sick, people want to be able to do something. And if we can give them direction or if we can say, yeah, I could really use someone to pick up the laundry or, you know, or pick up the dry cleaning or run to the store and grab milk or, you know, whatever it is, in a way, we're helping them by helping them help us, right? And so however you can spin that in your mind or shift it to the perspective of, you know, it's all part of this great collective community. And we're all in need of something at some point in time. And so it's
right.
Sort of our, I can get really big and go with like our universal responsibility, but I'm not going to. But, you know, translate that into whatever. And that's one of the most important things we can give to our kids. I mean, particularly as our kids get older, and you guys know this with, you know, high school and college students, if they haven't learned to advocate for themselves, at a certain point, legally, we're not able to advocate for them. And so we can't get them the services and accommodations that they need unless they are willing to do it themselves. And so one of the things that we can do is model asking for help, so that they see that it's okay to ask for help and there's no shame in it and no guilt in it. But it is. It's really hard to do. And I think for a lot of people it's also about control.
Yeah.
Maybe like around the house. You know, I could let my husband do the laundry, but he may not. Actually, he'd probably do it better than I do it. But, you know, in some cases, you know, he may not. Or, you know, he can make dinner or he can, you know, help the kids with the homework or whatever. And we have to let go of that control piece. And it's hard because particularly in our lives, there's very little that we control, you know, in anyone's life, right? We only control ourselves. So we almost have to shift our expectations somewhat or be willing to let go of certain things, kind of like you did with your daughter, Andrea. You know, you're willing to say, this is the most important thing right now. And everything else can go the way it's going to go. And it'll either work out or it won't. But as long as my daughter is having a successful and a positive school experience and success is just as being able to keep her anxiety and stress level in check, then you're okay with that. And it takes a long time for a lot of people to get there. And I wish we could, you know, find a quicker path, I guess. A lot of times I think we wait too long to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, we wait until we are absolutely desperate and then we ask. So that's another thing is to practice asking early and often, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. There was one other point I wanted to make sure I made before we open it up just a little bit more. It'll come back to me. So what's coming up for you guys?
I don't know. For me, it's, you know, trying to figure out, you know, where can I ask for that help for and feel comfortable doing it. I've struggled with it even, you know, before the loss of my husband sometimes, needing that help. And even right now, I know it's something I need to do, but I just figuring out, you know, at which juncture, you know, am I comfortable releasing that control in some area and asking for
sure.
it, you know.
Yeah. I know sometimes I feel like I've used up my help quotient, right, or my I've reached my limit, you know, and I've asked enough, and if I ask any more, that's going to be one ask too many. I think we forget that, you know, a lot of the families around us have kids that are neurotypical kids, you know, and their stress level and their need level is nowhere near what ours is. And it doesn't mean that we are needier necessarily or less capable. It's just that's the way our lives are. You know? And again, I think if we go back to that, we're helping others by giving them an opportunity to help us.
Gotcha. Okay. And, you know, for me, I haven't even asked. I think to your point, you mentioned kind of pride comes into it, you know, for me, because then it feels like kind of it meeting a weakness for myself, you know. And then I think number two is that rejection, too, that, you know, if I extend myself out and ask for help and someone not providing, you know, that assistance that I'm needing, and then I will then go, see, this is why. I don't ask for help. I'll just do it myself. That's the other thing that occurs.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. And so, Andrea, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it also it kind of relates a little bit to the topic. I don't know if it was last time, but transparency. You know, being open enough to kind of like share really who you are with other people and let them know that, okay, yes, I'm, you know, I need help. And it's hard to do that. Because, like she was saying, you know, there's that fear that someone's going to judge you or someone's going to, you know, laugh at you and say, you know, you can't do that, you know, or.
Yeah, you need help with that, really?
But,
no, I know. And
I've just noticed that when I'm around somebody else who is very transparent and who kind of knows themselves and accepts their you know weaknesses or whatever and knows they need help with things and they're very open about it. I'm really attracted to that. I kind of feel like, wow, that's really cool that that person you know they have enough confidence that they can, you know, tell somebody that they need help. And it makes me feel better because then it makes me feel like, oh, well, you know, she doesn't have everything all together. And you feel closer to that person, you know.
Definitely. And it's almost like it gives you permission to be vulnerable as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. So what are some things that we can do to sort of build up our asking for help muscle?
I'm at a loss, Jeremy, so I don't even
know. That's okay. I know. It's hard. Well, I was thinking about what you're saying about, you know, fear of being rejected, right? And one of the things I like about what you said, Andrea, was that, you know, when we're vulnerable or we give ourselves permission to be seen as vulnerable, it all misconception, I think, from a conversation. So, you know, let's say that you ask for help and the person that you ask says no. You know, if they are open and honest with you and they are clear about the reasons that they have to say no, then there's no shame or harm in that, right? And if we say, hey, this is what I need and this is where I'm coming from, people know that going in, right? And it gives them the permission to be open and honest with you about what they're willing and able to do. And a lot of times I think when people turn us down or behave in ways that are disappointing on some level to us, it has more to do with what's going on with them than anything that's going on with us.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents of special needs kids, you know, we're hardwired to go straight to, why don't they like me?
Yeah.
How does it relate to me? And, you know, what does that say about me? And 99.9% of the time, it has nothing to do with them. I mean, with us. It has to do with what's going on in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if you know, you set the boundaries initially, you know, one of the things that I love about there's many things that I love about my 12-year-old, but we sent him to a school for a long time that teaches him to celebrate his autism and celebrate his ADHD, and so he, and his social skills aren't the greatest, but he tells everyone he has ADHD and autism, and this is, you know, these are some of the things that he challenges with.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a little socially awkward sometimes, he is saying right from the get-go, this is what I need, and this is what you may see me do,
mm-hmm.
and this is why I do that, you know, and so the people that he becomes friends with and the teachers at school, they all know going in what he's about. And so when he asks for help or says he's overwhelmed, it's easy for them to jump in and help because they
mm-hmm.
know that it's this piece talking or that piece talking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
so
help
awesome.
Shift at all?
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's,
yeah.
That he can do that.
It's work for me to do, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we think that story comes from, or that voice in our heads that says it's weak to ask for help?
Mm-hmm.
It's the way we grew up.
Definitely for me, you know, and it's not that, you know, my parents would not have helped. You know, my dad was kind of in and out, and so I was kind of like second in charge to my mom. And so I was
mm-hmm.
always in that position of kind of leading things and taking care of things and, you know, just took care of it. That's just how I grew up. I think the other caller mentioned too, you know, just always being independent and taking care of things. And here I am at a time in my life where I really do need some help. And I just, that's a skill I just haven't developed really and truly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some areas that you could use help with?
You know, where I live in Atlanta, if anybody's familiar with it, it's a metro area and it's a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I work mm-hmm. a good ways from my home, a good 25
mm-hmm.
miles from my home, and traffic can be a problem. So I've got, you know, 2 days covered for my son to get picked up from aftercare, but there are a couple of other days that sometimes I need that coverage versus me trying to race through traffic and get
mm-hmm.
to him. And, you know, and she's the cousin that's kind of helping me out, can only commit to 2 days. And I've got other family members, but it would be inconvenient, you know, for them to truck
mm-hmm.
over to pick
mm-hmm.
him up. So, you know, that's one area, you know, and sometimes I just need a mental break, you know, between
yeah.
work, my kids, and also still going through this grieving mm-hmm. process. And I don't feel
of course.
I know how to even ask that, you know, I need just a couple hours, you know. Just to
yeah.
just be, and that's hard.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Mhm. And those are both things that I bet, if you asked anyone, they would be willing to help with.
I'm sure. I just have to get the courage.
Be willing
to
do
ask
that.
The question. Yeah.
So let's start with which one feels less vulnerable, if you had to choose.
Probably asking for a little time for myself may feel a little less vulnerable because everyone knows, you know, that we're still going through
yeah.
this grieving process and that everything's on me. So that feels like it could be the less vulnerable ask for me.
Mhm. And who are some people that you might ask?
You know, maybe some friends extending outside of my family network. I come from a big family. There are friends that I just haven't tapped into either, you know. So there may be, you know, some of my friends who are in the area that I could say, hey, could you take on Jacob? And, you know, and the other thing is because he is ADHD, I'm also concerned, you know, who would want, because he's very active. And, you know, a lot of people are not accustomed to dealing with that, you know. So just identifying a friend who knows him well enough and just knows that he's active and it doesn't scare him away, I guess, you know, for lack of a better word. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you're in a new school for him. Are there, does he have friends there that his parents might be?
We are, so he, a lot of his friends went to different schools because there's, you know, different theater schools that can go to. So right now, I'm not sure how many of his friends from his previous school have made it over to the new school. I haven't come across any just yet, you know, just even talking to him, a lot of them went to different schools. So right now, I'm not sure kind of what that network will look like right now in his middle school. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I imagine there's a lot of kids then who are all in the same boat in sixth grade coming in, getting to know each other.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I typically try not to give suggestions. You come up with your own stuff. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
No. So right. And it's really frustrating for people. So I, you know, I'm trying to find a good balance because
absolutely.
There's times when we just don't know, right? And you're like, if I knew, I would tell you what the answer is. You know.
Yeah. Right. And, so and I would love if I could, you know. And that's the other thing, you know. Like I said, I've been such an independent person, but if I could tap into even a network of parents, you know, who are like-minded, you know, would be great.
Yeah.
And again, that's something I haven't previously done. You know, all of this is new for me because, again, very interdependent.
You're a single parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't mean to be.
No, that was not my choice for sure. So
dang it, you know.
And so I've got to figure out how to kind of, I guess, even just make myself a little more available and open, you know, where I can. But, you know, again, finding that balance between work and the kids and the whole nine is definitely a challenge.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. And, you know, a lot of times I know schools will have suggestions of parents who might be like-minded or parents who whose kids are, you know, kind of in similar situations. And that might be just a place to ask. And that also helps you keep your exposure, I guess, in check, because everyone's searching for the same thing. The kids are making friends and to kind of connect with other parents so you guys can help each other out with just the basics of getting our kids home from school and, you know, covering for each other, that kind of thing.
I didn't think about that, and so I'm putting a star by that, and I will, because I am getting to know, like, his IEP lead and have some meetings coming up. So that is a question I will definitely ask, and I didn't think about even asking them, you know, if there's, you know, someone they can connect me with or even other parents who are like-minded.
Cool.
So I put a star by that. And so that's a good thing for me to check into as I'm going through these meetings and stuff.
Good. Okay, well, I hope that works out. Andrea, what are you thinking? What's a way that you can ask for help or model asking for help?
It's hard. Well, I've been.
What are the areas you need help with right now? Maybe we should start there.
I guess the area I need help with is I guess I'm trying to focus on noticing more positive things with my daughter, you know, like when she does something and it might not be, you know, exactly where I want her to be, but it's a step in the right direction. And I notice it, but I don't always say something to her. You know, I usually say something when there's something that she's not doing that I want her to do, but I'm not good at saying something when she's making a good effort, and so I need help with that, actually, remembering to look at the positive more and to actually communicate that to her.
Okay. And so it sounds like you do recognize when she's doing a great job. You just may not recognize it until a couple of days later or when you're thinking back on it. Am I
Yeah.
That? Okay. And so does the recognition, you know, a couple of days later, somehow feel less valid than in the moment?
No, I guess it, you know, if I say something, it's still going to feel good to her. You know, if she
uh-huh.
hears something, she'll say, she'll think, oh, she noticed that, you know, and I just wish it was a little more automatic for me, but.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's easy to focus on the negative, right?
Like, I have to think about it,
and
you know?
You yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we could go back to the wolf story, right? I think we talked about that a couple months ago, you know, which one wins the fight, the wolf that you feed. And if you feed the wolf who is positivity and joy and happiness and gratitude, then miraculously you start to see joy, happiness, gratitude. And it's just like any muscle, you know, the more we practice on being grateful and recognizing beauty and celebrating the successes, the easier it's going to be to see those and not go straight to the negative. So I think, I mean, is that something that could just be a habit to develop?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it kind of ties into this, in a way, being able to ask for help, because, you know, when you've been independent and done everything yourself, and, you know, I kind of was expecting her to be that way. So you don't praise the good stuff because it's like, well, naturally that's what you're supposed to do.
right
mm-hmm. You don't get kudos for making your bed because you were supposed to do it all along. And
yeah. So it's this whole shift, I guess, of, you know, just learning to meet them where they're at and being more open and transparent and learning how to even, you know, be so hard on myself too.
Yeah.
Allowing myself to ask for help and not being so hard on myself and not being so hard on her. So I guess.
So what do you need? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I guess just trying to be okay with, you know, not having everything all together, you know, not having it all together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's
so
okay.
What do you need to give yourself permission to not have it all together? Or does just saying it and thinking it?
I just saying it.
Kind of make it so.
And telling myself, it's okay. Relax, it's okay.
Yeah. And you've been doing that a great job of that recently, right? With your daughter's new school.
Yeah, I've been trying to do it for her, so I guess I have to learn how to do it for myself too.
Yeah. Can you remember kind of what that process felt like, or... is it something you can replicate, the steps in your head, or is it just the feeling? I don't know. I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's a hard. It's hard. It was hard.
Yeah.
You had to go through a lot.
No, I know.
For me to just say, okay.
It's a huge shift.
This is crazy. You know, we can't live like this. This is not what we want. And
yeah. You chose love.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's,
I like it.
It kind of went against everything, you know, that I thought we were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, like,
awesome, though. I mean,
go to school and get good grades and all that stuff. And it's not that I don't want her to get good grades, but it's like that's not the most important thing.
Yeah.
That is hard to embrace. I second that, so I understand.
Yeah. No, I think we're all in agreement on that one. It's hard. It's hard to know what a realistic expectation is. It's hard to honor that realistic expectation. It's hard to not. It is. It's hard to celebrate the things that seem like they should be day-to-day things, you know, in our lives, but they're not. And they're worth celebrating. Yeah, I always go back to that 3 to 5 year developmental delay. And if I think about, you know, I mean, truly, so if my 12-year-old is brilliant and his executive and my 15, I mean, all my kids are brilliant, of course, as are all of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but if I think about, you know, where he's at functionally, you know, he's 8, 9. And so I look at my fifth grader and the supports that I have to provide for my fifth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do celebrate that my seventh grader is able to now get up in the morning and get dressed for school and go to bed after 2 reminders, you know. And they seem like little things, but they are. They're big things.
I think when you put it like that, that's what I was thinking with my son, you know, whereas some of his peers last year in elementary and fifth grade were kind of already reaching for, you know, organizations and things like that. And to see him reaching for it this year, you know, I'm like, okay, it didn't happen like that last year, but just noticing, you know, well, and, you know, I kind of noted to myself in realizing that he just seems to maybe a year or two behind, you know, his peers, they're in the same grade, but kind of the things they were reaching for, I noticed now he's doing it this year. So, and I think that's where I'm like, okay, yeah. So I think you kind of vocalizing it that way, I think that's where I'm kind of noticing this year where I'm like, okay, so he's just a little more delayed than maybe his peers are, and that's okay. And I think that's kind of a win for me where I would have never, you know, acknowledged that even as recent as last school year.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And knowing that, I think, helps us to shift our expectations and shift our perspective as well. And, you know, if your son is only 1 or 2 years developmentally delayed compared to his peers, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really phenomenal, because most kids with ADHD are 3 to 5 years behind their peers developmentally, not intellectually and not, you know, physically, but in terms of executive functioning. And and it makes a huge difference. And it's the easiest piece to forget.
So. Yeah.
Well, we're coming up on time now, which I hate. We've got a few minutes left. Maybe we can take aim and put our action steps together all in one. So kind of what we do at the end, there's 4 questions that we ask at the end of each call. And it's, you know, what did I focus on most today or during the call? What's my aha or my clarity or my key takeaway? What's an action step that I'm willing to take? And do I have what I need to be successful with the action step? So in some calls, you'll take aim at the beginning of the call, and then you may change your mind throughout the course of the call on what you want to take aim on, or you may stick with what you decided on at the beginning. And then at the end of the call, you can base your checkout steps on whatever you took aim on or something else entirely. It's whatever structure works best for you. And I always encourage people to play with it a little bit and see what they're the most comfortable with. So, Andrea, can I ask you to go first?
Okay.
You can take a few minutes if you want to think.
Yeah, I mean, I think I still want to focus on and take aim on trying to celebrate, you know, like you were saying, just the day-to-day stuff that she's doing and not just, you know, take it for granted that, well, she's supposed to do that anyway, but to understand how difficult it is and be able to praise her, you know, let her know that, even if it's a day or two after it happened.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Because there's never a bad time to hear good things about yourself, right?
Yeah. I think I know it goes a long way in helping our relationship, and it probably goes a long way in helping her to, you know, feel better about what she's doing. And
what do you need to remind yourself to do that?
I just need to, I don't know, just think about it every day, I think. Just take every day as it comes. Take every day as it comes and just maybe just take a time every day to kind of reflect back.
Okay.
Instead of always thinking forward, like, okay, what do we got to do next? What's coming up? You know, try to take some time to think back about, okay, so what happened today and what good things happened, instead of what did we not do?
What did we not get done?
Yeah.
I love it. Do you need like a post-it note or a calendar reminder or something to... something physical to jar that or get that process going? Or is it, I can't remember if you have ADHD or not. I need a calendar reminder or a post-it note or something to pop up and remind me to think. Otherwise I'll forget.
I think I've been, just talking about it here. And I think if I try to talk about it, you know, and say it to people, and say it to myself, maybe I do need a little post-it note.
You never know. Give it a shot. See what happens.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. All right, cool. Will you let us know how it goes? Post it in the forum or share with us next time we get together?
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Marshall, you want to check out?
Okay. I guess... I'm going to stay from a previous call, which I think is helping a little bit, which is keeping focus and take aim on, I like water, and trying to accept the chaos that is in a part of my life right now, and just kind of accepting where my kids are in finding their way and not being so hyper-focused on, for example, my daughter. She's not back in college. Not only I don't feel like is performing at the level she could be. And kind of the same for my son, because I find when I don't put that type of stress on them, they seem to navigate themselves a little better than with me kind of hovering over them and just kind of, you know, passing, you know, just adding way more stress than it needs. It's hard for me not to do that, but it's something that I want to take aim on doing more of, as I have been since the last call that I had.
Okay. How are you going to remind yourself to pull back a little bit?
I may need to do the post-it note. You generally kind of agree. Kind of talking and just acknowledging has been hard for me. Acknowledging that that's what I've been doing is hard. So definitely that is going to cause me to kind of take pause, you know, and say, okay. I'm getting too intense and focused on what they're not accomplishing. But I may put a note on my phone, kind of reminder, just kind of like, it's okay.
Yes,
just
it's
a pop-up reminder, it's okay. It's something
to go. And forgive yourself.
Yeah, okay. And that's hard, too.
Yeah,
so maybe I'll put, it's okay, forgive yourself.
Yeah, forgive yourself, definitely, because there's a lot of reasons why you're doing the things that you're doing right now. And and it's a tough time. You know, your brain is dealing with all kinds of not so fun and fun chemicals and trying to make sense of it and trying to fill all kinds of gaps that you weren't planning on filling. And so don't be too hard on yourself. Give yourself some grace during this time too.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, any questions, burning desires, hopes, dreams, fears, anything we can tackle in 60 seconds or less?
I think this has been good for me, so I think I'm at a good stopping place today.
Good. I'm glad you were here today.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you, in a couple weeks.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The moderator has...